put your website to work while you play. A website works 24/7, so no matter where you are or what you're doing, people can still find you online. Start building your website today at GoDaddy.com. It starts with a .com domain. Enter promo code 199MYLF, that's 199MILF, at checkout to get your .com for just $1.99. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Hello, everybody. I'm Sophie, and welcome to MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous. We like to talk about anything around here, from parenting, health, money, sex issues, to marriage, dating, diets, anything. We'll talk about just about anything. We try to keep self-help fun. Today is about a health journey. You are going to love my guest. She's awesome. I hope that listening will not only entertain you, but that maybe you'll be inspired. If you're new to MILF Talk, thank you for tuning in. I'm a psychologist, life coach, and mother of two, and author of MILF 101, Make Your Life Fabulous. I'm truly passionate about helping people live authentic, joyful lives, and I like to get really practical about it. So I'm happy to say that I'm able to offer you a free workbook now on my website, makeyourlifefabulous.com. So go in, enter your email, you'll get a link to download it. It's called A Goal Setting and Life Rescripting Workbook. I introduced the idea of rescripting in MILF 101. It's really about rewriting the story of your life and rescripting the negative belief systems that hold you back from what you really want, which is going to be so great to talk about today with my guest. You don't have to read MILF 101 to understand, because basically I include a version of that chapter in the workbook, so you don't have to worry about that. Just go ahead and start working with it right now, and you can get clarity and set goals and figure out what you want in your life and what you're willing to do about it. So makeyourlifefabulous.com, go get the download. It's cool. So I talk about hot yoga a lot. And I actually know my guest through that. I started doing this yoga in 2007. And one of my teachers was this quirky, funny, lovely lady named Lisa. And she is a longtime yoga teacher. She's a lifelong Buddhist, and she is a funny, funny girl. A storyteller and a comedian, Lisa has two one-woman shows. Not one two-women shows, but two one-woman shows. One of them is Bad Buddha, and the other one is Karma, Tale of a Fat Yogi, which talks about her life teaching and practicing yoga 100 pounds overweight. Yes, that is right. And I knew her then. No longer overweight, she has changed her karma. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome less of her, Lisa Mills. You look fantastic.
Thank you.
But it's not just about, you know, the body and how you look, which is obviously fantastic, right. But you're glowy.
Thank you.
You're glowy.
So much.
You really are. And you've always, it's funny because you've always been glowy and energetic, right. and you've always sort of emanated a lot of wonderful energy.
Yeah. Thank you.
You know, but there was sort of this like ironic weight in a way that you were carrying around.
Right.
I mean, I don't even know if I'm using that correctly, but that's sort of how it felt. It was like you and all of this and you, and how are you stuck?
That's a good word. Right? Ironic for that is an excellent word, because it's a disconnect, but it was but not maybe in the typical way. It was it was ironic.
You didn't, because though you were stuck, you didn't seem weighed down.
Correct.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, I wasn't stuck. But I was moving forward.
You were. Okay.
There was no stuckness.
Okay.
It's just you catch people in certain moments of their life.
Right.
But the spirit to move forward was happening.
It was already there. So that's really what was emanating from you, essentially, is that you were always sort of, I don't know. It seemed almost like a non-issue, though you knew it was an issue.
It was a hard issue, actually. I mean, the truth of the matter is, you know, the first Bikram yoga class I went to, which was way back in the year 2001 in Boulder, Colorado, when I was, you know, 27 years old. Mm-hmm. And I walked in there at 245 pounds, and I'm 5'4½". So you guys listening
give
can understand the dynamics.
Dude, I just wear the little half inch heel called 5'5".
Okay, so it's 5'5".
So we're 5'5". Both of us are.
245 pounds. And it was rough. It was rough. I mean, I would go in there. I had a great spirit. I had a great energy. Mm-hmm. You know, being raised Buddhist enabled me to have a certain type of life condition mm-hmm. or perspective or knowing I could transform anything.
Right.
But you sometimes don't know how hard the stuff that you're trying to transform really is. Mm. And I remember being in that room in the beginning, and you had to wear shorts at the studio as a requirement. You
really?
Weren't allowed to wear pants because they need to see your knees. They need to
right.
see your
they
body
need to
structure.
See your knee locked and all that stuff.
Because Bikram yoga is very therapeutic. It's like physical therapy. Mm-hmm. So there I am in these spandex shorts and a tank top, and I'm really large, you know. There's mm-hmm. a lot of things hanging out. I mean, I'm cute because I'm young, but I'm still
And you're
large.
Cute, you know. You're cute at any
yeah,
size.
Right. I was
so,
cute, you know.
Yeah.
But I remember looking over in the mirror and seeing my thigh and seeing mm-hmm. how many layers of, you know, really is just, you know, I mean, the stratosphere to the muscle. You know, there was such a large distance to go.
Right.
But and I can make fun of it. But, you know, it was really right. painful. And I'd leave the room, and you aren't supposed to leave the room. And I'd leave the room and I'd go sit in the shower and I'd cry for 10 minutes before getting back in that room.
Wow.
But I'd learned
impressive
to never give
that
up.
You would even go back.
Because I learned to never give up through my right. Buddhist upbringing.
Yes.
I learned to never give up. Mm-hmm. I did not know that, you know, it would be, you know, 10 years later at 37, almost 38 years of age, still 100 pounds overweight, having fluctuated a few times during those years, mm-hmm. being like, oh my gosh, I'm almost 40 and I'm still here. What's going on? Despite that, I've been teaching mm-hmm. at that point for about 4 years.
Right, because you went through teacher training, mm-hmm. right, which is extensive. For those
Very.
That don't know, teacher training for Bikram is 9 weeks, 11 classes
Correct.
A week.
Correct.
And you're pretty much up all night studying.
Yes.
And yeah, they pretty much torture you.
100%.
And it's many billions of dollars too. It's a commitment.
Yeah, which pays itself off
of course,
over time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's 24/7. It's pure intensive. There's no other, I mean, that is it. That is your whole life
yeah.
for 9 weeks. And you know, I
respect
know.
Any Bikram yoga teacher you meet.
Yeah. And you really do have to do two yeah. classes a day. And
yeah.
then I got during that training, a tooth fell out. And so then I had to go get that replaced. I had to miss classes. And so the week after, I had to do three classes a day. There's no joke here.
Oh my God.
But those are the types of things that you have, that if you can do that,
yes.
then you have built-in persistence to continue forward, no matter what your issue may be, weight,
yes.
romance, finance.
And that is one of the reasons I talk so much about Bikram yoga in my book, because those are the life lessons that I learned from it. One,
Correct.
that perseverance, the discomfort, the finding out what you can do, all of those things. Mm-hmm. You learn that in that 90 minutes. You learn so much in that 90 minutes about yourself all the time mm-hmm. that, It was life-changing for me mm-hmm, in that mm-hmm. way. I started in 2007.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure how long you had been teaching at that time. But I always liked it when I showed up in Lisa's
that's
teaching.
That's when I started at Encino, the Encino
uh-huh.
studio
yeah.
in February of 07 because oh. I graduated November of 06.
Oh, wow.
And then February of 07, I found Christy
and
Williams
our little,
in Encino.
Our little paths crossed because
yes.
I was there 4 months later, I think.
Yeah, and
yeah.
I've been there at that studio the whole time. And she's just amazing, the owner, Christy Williams.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
She's amazing. It's an amazing place. And mm-hmm. you know, when you have a set of 26 postures and 2 breathing exercises where that never changes, you have a non-transient tool that you're constantly up against
yes.
as a very fluctuating being, whether it be our emotions, our hormones, you name it. And
yes.
you have to contend with your own human fluctuation against something that never moves. You really mm-hmm. get deep into self-reflection if you don't quit, if you continue
right.
forward.
Right. Yeah. And I think it well, because I have been to many studios around the country. I don't know, 10 or 12, something like that. But and I love
That's
that no matter where I go, it's always the same. Yeah, I can tell you a couple of them are dumps. I won't name them here, but. But
I'm going quick. No.
Yeah. No. But it's so amazing. Like you said, you know, it's the same anywhere
yeah.
you go, anytime, you know what to expect. And it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. That's when you walk into that room and you do that series of mm-hmm, postures mm-hmm. and you deal with whatever is coming up because it's between you and you, right? In that moment. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was fascinating to me. I'm just going to go ahead and like,
yeah.
say it. I'm going to say it out loud. It was fascinating to me that you did as much yoga as you did, because let me tell you, this shit is hard work and you were struggling with your weight so much.
Right.
You know,
right.
that was always interesting, because the truth is you do see many, many yoga teachers, particularly Bikram teachers, when they do practice regularly, most of them don't have a real weight issue.
No, they're mostly able to wear naked clothes, like
yeah,
almost
pretty
nothing.
Much. Yeah. Like I hate them all. No. You know, and
yeah.
so there was, you know, what do you think was going on for you energetically that was really... You know, I mean, obviously, I know that some people, they're going to simplify, you're just eating too much. And yes, but why? Like, where is the desire and the necessity of holding right. the weight, you right. know, the desire to stay in that space.
Right.
Were you able to sort of figure that out?
Yes.
Before or kind of during?
Well, I think there's many, many, many layers considering how much
so complicated.
Weight I had to lose, considering how it was a lifelong issue. It wasn't that I was a thin teenager, then gained weight. Like this, I was born fat. Like I was born this way. Like, so by the time I was 12, I was the fattest child in the room. Like this is who I always have been.
Wow.
Or always, you know,
big
was.
Part of your identity.
Yeah, this is my identity 100% upside down, inside out. And everyone liked me this way. They liked me fat. They liked me funny. You know, right. no one said, I think you're eating too much. Put it down. Of course, now they're like, are you going to eat now? Like now they're worried about the other way. People are very interesting. But I feel like, you know, my body was in a lot of pain. There was in a lot of pain. And, you know, I had a very kind of there was my parents had a lot to go through. There was a lot of stuff in my upbringing, which I don't need to necessarily go into. But there was, you know, just the crap that comes, you know,
sure.
a lot of, you know, between my mom and father and me and my dad and, you know, just the whole family stuff. And And I remember partway during the teacher training, it was like the fourth week in, and everyone's body was in pain because they've been trying to bend over, touch their toes, their hamstrings. Mm-hmm. And so the whole collective room is like, I'm in pain.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, I said, you know, if I can say that my body's in pain, I can say that my body is in love. And in that moment, I just switched it. I just said, you know what? Your body's in love. And boom, all my flexibility, you know, the pain was gone. Mm-hmm. And it never came back. And so that to me was the beginning of recognizing that I was a person in pain. And I don't know that if I knew it, because I was happy because of my biggest
upbringing. Because it was your body was in pain, right? But you didn't know that.
But my mind was not in pain.
Right.
My mind was not in pain. And that's probably from my growing up chanting my whole life and being Buddhist. But this is a mind-body connection. So I needed to get connected to the body. And I worked very hard to get connected. I was already flexible. There were, you know, all these things. And then I think, you know, as 40 approached, that was definitely a real big trigger. Or, you know, you're turning 40, you're like, oh my gosh, you know. And then
Hold on, let me try to remember when.
I'm going to have to have that memory soon. Anyway, so I just looked at my life and also I really wanted to heal my family relationships. Mm. And I had not spoken to my father in 10 years. And again, another issue for another day.
Sure. Yeah.
But I really prayed to heal those scars and I was able to reconnect with him and we were able to heal that. And then the weight really started falling off.
Wow.
And so I feel like emotionally I must have finally received something very necessary in order for me to continue forward. And then
do you think it was a matter of feeling, getting what you need and therefore feeling less vulnerable? Do you feel the weight was a protection for you or
must have been. I mean, that was my conclusion.
Yeah. Right.
You know, okay. At the time, if you asked me that, I would have been like, I don't really know. I don't understand. Like, I'm trying to eat healthy, you know, this and this and that. I don't know. Like, you know, like one yoga teacher thought maybe I had a parasite. And I'm like, yeah, like I have one parasite. It's probably called pizza. Like, I don't.
Yeah,
this isn't like a parasite. Like, there's something deeper going on with my mind-body connection.
There's something you're feeding. There's something you're trying to
So,
fill.
You know, in the Bikram yoga, you're really healing your spine. You're healing your neurological pathway. So I really feel the repetitive motion over and over and over again. This desire to become happy, allow those neurological pathways to open up. But healing with my father allowed me to go, okay, you know what? That's done. The past is the past. Mm-hmm. And now I can be free. And then I connected with a place called Barry's Boot Camp, who, you know, is a hardcore exercise. And, you know, then the weight started really falling off, you know, but I was free to do it. Like it was safe to do it or it was okay to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly, truly feel that my spine got healed too. I mean, there's so many layers as to what finally released.
And I know for myself that doing the yoga, I didn't know that I was 7 months from a divorce.
Right.
But I started the yoga in 2007 and it was almost as though, you know, it was almost as though that prepared me and gave me the strength to handle what was coming down the pike.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe also strengthened me in such a way, almost in a way that my husband felt I could handle the truth. Do you know what I mean? Like this is like, you know, like it was almost like this kind of growth and growth apart that just got even more exaggerated by the strength that I was gaining through the yoga
and by my connection
to myself, like really being able to stand in my own heart space time, you know, and to especially do the intensity of yoga that you're doing during your training, right? And to come into that space, how could that not create some connections that make you ready to speak to your dad? You know, I mean, I feel like almost like these are what I try to explain to people is how this yoga strengthens you emotionally.
Yeah. It's
right.
It's
because it's because it's getting you so in tune and yoked mind and body.
That's right. Because of the mind and body.
Yeah.
Like a mind body connection is in its finest is a development of your sixth sense, mm-hmm. which is the production of wisdom. So,
that's
where wisdom comes from, is your mm-hmm. ability to have all your senses merging. And so, when you're in that mind-body, if you've never taken a Bikram yoga class, you know, we're not teaching just a physical class. We are teaching a mind class. Like, mm-hmm. you are being required to hear something and take action at the same moment without mm-hmm. any downtime, which is a simultaneous movement, which is really quite difficult to participate in life. We're usually separating ourselves constantly all the time. So you're creating a unity, mm-hmm. A holistic self finally.
Right. And it's just a space. It's 90 minutes to practice it.
Yeah. And then when you're healed, you don't want to let anyone else not be healed. I mean, right. It didn't matter what happened to my family. Like I wanted to heal the karma of my family or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So finally, I just feel like I was connected enough that it's okay to let it go. And so what I feel now is like now I'm simultaneous. Like my insides and what I'm talking about and what I look like are matched.
Congruent.
It's the same. I'm finally together.
Yeah. It's fascinating to know you, to have known you both ways. And yet I'm not in your immediate family or even close. So I didn't have an investment in you being in you staying that way.
Right.
And I also didn't have a deep investment in you losing that mm-hmm. weight because you're such a joyful soul.
Right.
You know,
right.
And yet I knew that it troubled you. We had talked about it. So my only investment in it was for you, mm-hmm. To mm-hmm. be happier. But I feel like from a very outside point of view, it's like, yes, you've always been spiritually congruent.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right. Right.
And who you are.
Very much, yeah.
And here you are. It's so wonderful to see you with all of that energy. It's like you have more to share.
It's out of the body.
It's
not trapped inside of me anymore. But, I have to say, there was a point in that practice because, it took about 4 years to get that space where I could then really legitimately change my lifestyle. And it's taken 4 years to lose 100 pounds. I've gone very slow,
wow.
but it is permanent. It is forever. It's over.
Four years.
This was, really revolutionized.
Mm-hmm.
But I just spent a number of years in that room just looking at myself and being like, your body's in love. It's a body's in love. No matter what you see, I really had to make a transfer from looking at myself as an appearance of right or wrong. Is this right or is this wrong? Looking at my big thigh and running and crying and because I'm wrong. That's so wrong. It's mm-hmm. wrong. And change that kind of energy to see myself as a physical body that has joints, that has bones, that has muscle, that has endocrine system, that has a nervous system, that has fascia,
and,
that has this.
Yeah.
But even beyond the emotion, I had to really look at myself for what I was, which was human. And then I had to really see myself as that and say, my body's in love because I'm doing something good to it. My body's in love. Mm-hmm. And that to me is really the trigger that probably then allowed me to heal whatever needed to be healed. And the other thing I always say about the yoga is that, when you're committed to a path of consistency, I'm going to mm-hmm. go to yoga no matter what,
mm-hmm.
then whatever is not going to allow you to go to yoga mm-hmm. has to go away by the nature of cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making the cause to go every day. So the effect would be whatever that system yields, in the yoga, the mind body connection. So I have to get rid of what's in the way. So the weight was in the way, everything was in the way. Like in order for me to continue on this path, things that are not useful to it must go. And then it's a natural movement. It doesn't have to be so hard.
You're going towards yes, as opposed to resisting.
Right.
Yeah.
You're just taking the steps every day.
I'm going toward, I'm going toward.
And trusting.
Yeah. Essentially in faith.
And you'll learn more.
Like,
yes.
Yeah. We're getting very.
Yeah. In faith. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
But I want to, we get it. No, it's beautiful because I really, we always talk about, you know, weight not just being a physical thing, obviously. Yeah. And there's, you know, there is a physiological momentum to fat getting fatter, you know, as we talk about in, you know, with insulin and cells and all the messages and the hormones and everything, where it's our bodies get better and better at holding fat. That's just on a sort of a technical, earthly, physiological, you know, there is truth to that, you know, but the spiritual and emotional aspect of weight loss and body acceptance, whether that's weight loss or weight gain, you know, like anything around that, we are so quick to put our bodies in hate. Right.
Oh, yeah.
That actually I had a girlfriend of mine who said, she's like, I just started rubbing my thighs every day and just telling them I love them.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, literally, I was just like, I love you. I love you. She's rubbing her thighs. And I'm like, really? And she goes, yeah. And it just started to come off. I'm like, hey, man, if that works, yay. But really, I mean, it was because what that does is if you're in love, then you're not in resistance and your action is inspired. Your eating is more inspired. Everything around it sort of takes care of itself. But you have to, that's a practice.
Yeah.
That's a practice. How long did it take you? It took you years and years and years.
13 years to get to this vantage point today.
Right.
But it's like you're alkalizing the heart or something, you know.
That's beautiful. I like that. Yeah. So here you are, and you've made fun of yourself forever, right?
Yeah.
In this process, right? So you have two shows. Well, the first one was Bad Buddha.
Right.
And when you were heavier, you would do stand up, right? And you'd be like, "Yeah, I'm a yoga teacher," right?
Yep.
Right off the bat.
Yep.
And you are bendy.
You're right. Right. You know, fat people are more flexible.
Oh, really?
Than skinny people, you know.
So what was that? So what was that like for you, and how has it changed? You know, like, because then, I mean, your visual gag is over.
Right. My visual gag is over.
You cannot rely on that.
It's all over.
It's all over.
And I'm only going to be 42. Oh.
Right. Well, you know, that's another issue. If we get to it, I'd like to talk about that excuse, you know, not having that excuse because it
no
is a safety net, right? You have no excuse, right?
No excuse.
But I want to hear about the comedy. And
I made fun of myself for my size. I mean, I definitely saw humor in the irony, you know?
Of course,
I thought maybe the best way to teach that yoga class when I was that heavy was to come with a Carl's, you know, Junior hamburger and just eat it as I'm telling you to, like, you know, stretch, just stretch. I'm stretching. Watch me put this in my mouth. Like, I made fun of it. I called my bones big bones. People made fun of me my whole life. Like, hey, you big bone girl. It's like, no, these aren't big bones. Like, there's no size 22 bone. Like, it doesn't go that way. Like, it's not actually real. It's fat. And but there was a point that I came to because, you know, in the stand-up comedy world, like, you kind of get your niche. And sometimes we, you know, stay with the darkness because we think that's what makes us funny. You know, and I thought some of the really large comedians and whatever. And I just thought to myself, you know, that's not what I want to joke about. I don't want to joke about that. Right. Like, I don't actually ever want to tell, like, you know, a fat joke again, although I probably will because I'm going to make fun of it because I work in the physical realm. But I didn't want to joke about my body like that. Like, I wanted to talk about other stuff. And so that's why I went to storytelling, to kind of start to make a different, you know, find a different voice, a different story, you know, different that type of thing. But yeah, I had no problem making fun of me fat, but people have problems with you making fun of fat. You know, people, it makes people uncomfortable.
Okay.
Because they don't know if you're okay with it. You know, they don't know if you're okay making fun of yourself. Like, they don't know. And, you know, every joke
because they feel like they're laughing at your pain. Right?
Yeah, but the jokes I told, I mean, I told them because they were funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't pain, you know, but they thought that. They're not sure of that or.
Right.
Yeah. You have to draw attention to yourself if you're going to talk, you know.
Of course. And yet, it's not. It's obvious.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I know we have these issues in my family. I think that sometimes I just want to say, you know, he knows he's fat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like you're not.
Right.
You're not.
Pleasantly plump.
Well, no, I mean, like, well, I mean, it's so beyond that, but it's like you're, you're sort of talking about this problem as though he's not aware he has the problem, it's kind of heartbreaking because at this point I'm at the point of like, just, well, whatever. Yeah. That's where you're at. Like, I'm not going to fix you. I don't need to fix you. You still are who you are and I love you. And that's like, it just is what it is. Like, can we all stop talking about it? Like, he knows.
Yeah.
He knows.
Yeah.
You know, and
like, tell me something else about him. Tell me something else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, this is not the whole sum total of this person.
No, we only do a small part of my bits, you know, on the longer shows about that stuff. But, you know, there's lots of other things.
I mean, I guess that's,
I don't want to get stuck.
I guess that's what I'm saying is that, I'm thinking about the discomfort, you know, that, where you're saying like, look, I know who I am, you know, you know, 5 years ago, I know who I am. It's okay to laugh. I'm telling you, I know who I am. This is this is where this is. But there is sort of this fear of acknowledging obesity, you know, because there's so much shame around it. Like you said, it's not just that your thigh is big. It's that you're wrong.
Right.
You're actually one big mistake. And that's what, and that's where that's our culture, right? Putting that on it and creating like a whole huge layer on top of the, I have an issue. I have a food issue. I have a health issue. I have the, you know, like, let's talk about,
it's really a health issue.
It's a health issue.
It's a health issue. And
absolutely.
If we could speak about it as a health issue, you know, a lot of our children would be in a different space right now. If we could acknowledge it for what it was, and if we really understood where the health issue stems from emotionally, but also, you know, from the food that's available, like from all sorts of stuff.
Everything. It's an enormous cultural issue. It's enormous. And anybody raising kids today knows that that which is available to them today, food wise, is like almost as bad as what's available to them drug-wise, right?
Right.
I mean, we just, you know, we did an episode recently about the availability of drugs. And, you know, the food is no better.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it's just everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it's absolutely normal to have like 50 grams of sugar in your lunch, just in your lunch, you know? And so, you know, here we are, we're creating this issue, and yet it's this sort of shameful issue, right? And it's so fucked up.
Yeah, because it's fucked up.
It's like, yes, this is the deal. This is the symptom of this health issue.
Yeah.
You know, just like depression, mm-hmm. suicidality, mm-hmm. all of those things. These are health issues, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So, so it's, I think it's just very interesting. You know, you put yourself out there that way. And then for some, they were able to laugh and some felt mm-hmm. uncomfortable. And like, I wonder where that line was for them. You know,
well, what I think the line is based on their own body issues, you know, for sure, because as I decrease in size and because it's been so slow, there's been a lot of different stations as this 100 pounds goes off. Mm. And so it's been interesting to kind of see where people are comfortable and not comfortable.
Mm.
And as the people that have their own really deep, you know, like really big, deep body issues where their minds are also this way, I notice as I get thinner, they get thinner. You know, they get thinner. I think people were really comfortable with me as a larger yoga teacher. I mean, yes, they liked my energy. So I'm really going to, the people are so beautiful. So I really want to say that mostly, I think people really respected me and my energy.
Absolutely.
But of course, you know, nature is nature. So, you know, there were plenty of people who had deep, you know, probably body issues. You know, maybe they had suffered from bulimia or anorexia mm-hmm. or this or that, or just body shaming. And here they come to this yoga class. Here's this very confident and joyful and happy, bright, large girl, you know, mm-hmm. who's overweight.
Who's still taking care of her health.
Who's happy and okay.
You know,
and they can still practice the yoga and watch her practice the yoga. And they must have felt so safe.
Right.
Because here they could belong no matter what. Like, because I was an image of what, you know, everyone hated. And yet I was okay with myself. They must be okay with themselves.
Yeah.
So as I'm getting thinner, it's really interesting to navigate these waters because I'm more homogenous. I look more like other people. I'm not, it's different. It's a whole
different
vibration.
Now you're just one of those hot half naked yoga
teachers. Right now I'm just a freaking hottie ready for
Playboy.
That's
right.
Or
just ready. Ready to go. Yeah. It's very interesting. Uh-huh. And so you've noticed some of those students losing weight as well.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
People are
frightened. Because you also make it safe to lose weight.
Right. That's the
positive side of it. That's the sort of strange part of the health. I've dealt with food issues, you know, most of my life.
Now I've made it safe for everyone to be who they are too, still.
Right. Like
still.
I'm going to go ahead and bravely go to my fullest potential.
Yeah. Okay.
Come along with me.
Well,
you know?
That's great. Right.
Right.
So it's the same. Then I guess it's the same effect. We're still allowing people to be who they are.
Yeah. But I do find it interesting that some, you know, will just go away, right?
Yeah.
You know, like I don't feel safe. I don't know where to file this now.
Yeah.
And some will kind of go along for the ride and go, oh, yeah. Well, if she can do it and she hasn't imploded. Right. Mm-hmm. Because there is the fear of success with weight loss. Right.
Right.
We have the protective issue of the weight emotionally that we carry and then also the food ingestion, the numbing, the stuffing of everything. Right. So there's all this safety and cushioning from the world. Right. Mm-hmm. That is very scary to let go of, and you say, well, maybe they're scared to lose weight. And it's like, what? Who would be scared to lose weight? Trust me. That's like a big part of most of it. Mm-hmm. So and for women, sometimes becoming sexualized when they lose the weight is a huge, huge issue, right?
Right.
So this is all about packing it around your femininity, just packing on this bubble wrap, basically, for many people. I can't speak for everyone.
No,
okay.
True.
I just know this is a common thread. Yeah. Yes. So the fear of success in that respect, go ahead and speak to that if that's what you're.
Yeah. Is it fear of success or is it fear of failure? I mean, I don't, a fear of the unknown, perhaps,
Especially for you having been all your life.
All my life. Yeah. I mean, when I was a teenager, there was a moment and I did the Weight Watchers at 17. I went from 240 to 165 or something. Wow. So that was great. But then I liked a boy. And then next thing you know, I was pregnant and then I lost that child. And so I feel like, that probably was even the deeper issue than just the family stuff. Like that was the initial layer that probably had me fat. But then I put this on top of it. So the femininity, the sexuality, all those things were really wrapped up in that, because the equation for that innocent mind is, this means I have, that's how I was looking at it. Oh, mm-hmm. I get skinny, I get pregnant.
That's
the association. Mm-hmm. So, I think it is a fear of success, though. It is a fear of success. I mean, one of the reasons I wanted to lose the weight is because I wanted to give myself more options. Mm-hmm. I want to give myself more things that I could do in my lifetime that would be more available to me. And it's really the truth. I mean, I can now speak, motivate tons of people to lose weight or do this or that. And there are so many mornings where, I had to fight, other people's opinions of me or quitting and just be like, it's okay for me to be successful. It's okay for me to have the body I want. It's okay for me to be who I am. And I remember getting ready to go to my Barry's boot camp and do some hardcore exercise and just crying like, no, you're not going to stop me. Like, it's okay for me to be everything I am. Like, it's okay. And you really have to fight for that. You have to give yourself permission and know that if you're working, for the sake of humanity, that, you're becoming best is going to bring a whole bunch of people with it. I'm not trying to become the best bank robber. I'm just trying to become the bait, because that may not be good.
No. It's not really all about spreading love. Yeah. Well, it's interesting, the notion of it being okay to have the body that you want.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's also okay to have the body that you have.
Right.
Right. And you have to get to that place really before you can even change it.
Right. I have to.
So, those years of you being okay with it, continuing the yoga, continuing to teach, continuing to essentially command that others accept that too,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows how many people you allowed to accept their own bodies the way they were right there and still live, still mm-hmm. do yoga, mm-hmm. still work for that mind-body connection, mm-hmm. still do the work, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. In that state.
Mm-hmm.
Took years to get where you are now,
mm-hmm.
right? But all of that modeling, essentially, that was just your path, maybe. because that piece of just accepting where you're at, to see that modeled in this culture, doesn't happen.
No, it was hard.
It doesn't happen.
Like, my body's in love. I mean, that's really what was going on in my brain the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I will not be unhappy practicing this yoga. Mm-hmm. This yoga is good for me.
Right.
I have to get the right point of view.
No, it's an incredible journey.
It can't be torture. It can't be hell. It can't be pain. It can't be continuous suffering. It can't. Like, I've got to get the right point of view. This is the good stuff.
Right.
Sitting on the couch is not the good stuff.
Right. And you were obviously still doing some of that too, right?
Well,
like some of the, you know, like.
Well, I probably did. I mean, I ate a lot. I mean, when I look back, I really was, I didn't realize how overnourished I was. I thought I was healthy.
Right.
In some
way. Of course. Well, because you only knew what you knew, right?
At the time.
Yeah. So you only, and so, but what I mean is, you know, our lives are this sort of, we do the best we can, you know, with each day.
Right.
Right. And so this gift you were going to give yourself.
Right.
Now, maybe there were other things you weren't able to give yourself yet.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you have to give yourself nothing.
Correct.
You know, and that's the sort of all or nothing behavior. And I don't think that we learn or change in an all or nothing fashion unless we hit way bottom, get cancer. Like,
right,
some, you know,
right.
I mean, I'm not saying it never happens, but in general, we learn lessons in layers.
That's correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And your story is such an incredible example of, you know, what, 15 years of layers, you know, of this process.
Right.
You know,
step
well,
by
I mean,
step.
Really your whole life, obviously. But I mean, you know, when you made that shift, when you did the yoga, when you went back, when you kept going into class, whether or not you were crying, whether or not you lost any weight, whether, you know, like, I mean, it must have been frustrating to do all that yoga and not have it.
In the beginning, it was because I was a parents-based person because I was I mean, that's the culture I was raised in. So in the beginning,
there's always a secret wish. It's going to make you look like all those other chicks.
That first yoga studio, they're like, okay, she's going to be our poster child. Yay.
Right.
This girl's going to come in here, do the yoga, eat right, and lose weight. And I didn't do it. And I still went to the yoga.
And you still did the yoga.
And I still went to the yoga teacher training. And I lost a little bit of weight, but not much.
Right.
And, you know, and it was fine. It was, you know, I did it and it was fine. And in the beginning, yes, that was frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was able to change my point of view and say, fine, if I never, ever, 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 ever change this, I still will practice yoga my whole life. I became a teacher so I wouldn't quit.
Mm.
We know we're not quitting. And so that's why I like to think that it's almost a natural evolution of, you know, a practice of a continuation of being being an active principle of consistency. You know what I mean? Like being there now.
Right.
You know,
that
right now.
That was one thing that it was the catalyst and it was the through line and it was everything that, you know, gave you the strength and the
frustration went away. Though,
like you said, you know, when you make that mind body connection, that's where you get the wisdom. Mm-hmm. You get that wisdom through that connection, and eventually, you know, the layers. The layers open up, fall off.
It's a miracle. It feels like a miracle. Like when it first started happening, like the first couple of years, I was like seeing that, like, this is really going to happen. I'm really going to be able to go the distance. I'm really going to be able to do it this time.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, oh, you know, Lisa, you look so good. I'm like, oh, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. They're like, it's not a miracle. You worked. I'm like, the fact that I can work hard is the miracle. It's
right.
A freaking miracle. And now, like, that I've done this, I'm like, okay. Like now it's just, it blows my mind. I've never seen this. I don't even know what I look like. You know, I have no idea, but it doesn't matter because I already developed a love of self. I already developed a good point of view of self. I already developed myself. So whatever physical changes are happening are
so now you get to just like reap the rewards and have
fun.
That's so awesome.
Exactly.
No, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love it. So tell me a little bit about, because I do think that, the fear of success that we were talking about also has to do with your relationship. Sometimes, you know, people grow up in families where everybody is overweight, you know, and then that's sort of your shared connection. And those of you that, you know, it's like you want to go be a star-bellied sneech, you know, if like you decide that you want to change and that it's not okay to live like this, you know, that shift. And that can be with anything, you know, that can be, you know, any number of issues in families or connections, friendships. Like you were saying, people liked you to be a certain way and you know, now they worry about you being too skinny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you going to be, you know, are you going to eat?
You're not going to die, you know?
Right.
Like, I might have died the other way. Thank you.
Yeah. So the majority of your relationships, because it's been kind of a slow process, have they survived
yes, I think they
lovely
have.
Storm?
I mean, you know, I was really fortunate, you know, for a long time now, I have created an environment where most everyone loves me, you know, they support what I do. They respect what I do. I don't have a lot of negative, you know, Nellies in my environment or people that kind of keep me down. I mean, I would say, you know, the people that I come in contact with, like, you know, in the exercise world sometimes are like, what's up? You know, some of the yoga students sometimes, but,
really?
Most of, right. Because that's the physical thing, right?
Oh, so, okay. Some of the,
what I was saying before, but, yes, I'd say that they're all surviving. They're all surviving. All the friendships are surviving because I'm the same person. you know, I'm the same person. I think they all agree that I have like a lot more like vibrancy, which I was like, mm-hmm. in my mind, I'm like, what are you talking about from before then? I thought it was fun, you know, like,
right.
Like, they're like, you're, you know, they do, they say you're glowing, your energy, but that's just gonna be the food I eat. You know, if you eat good food, you glow, hopefully. they're mostly surviving. I haven't had any kind of major, you know, fallout, you know, like that, but I really temper and I've gone so slow. And I've yeah. really done what I need to do. So you, I'm not the type that's constantly looking for, well, I'm not looking for outside approval so much. But, I mean, there's not like one fundamental relationship that's broken down. They've probably all right. gotten stronger.
Cool.
You know, the ones that are closest to me feel
I think that's
like
actually great to hear. I mean, I think that
they're seeing me
because
for the first
time. I do think that there's people out there with weight to lose
mm-hmm.
Who...
I was very afraid of it.
Fear.
I was very
sure.
afraid that people would hate me. Mm. I was very scared. I'm like, what if they all hate me now? They're all going to hate me now because look at this. I'm totally different. They liked me before.
You broke some sort of contract.
Yeah, I broke right? a contract. That, I mean, one time.
You had a role that you were yeah. supposed to play for all of us, damn it. And
I broke it and I didn't do it.
And you broke it, yeah.
You know, and I'm a nice person. So, you know, those things are going to affect me. I mean, one mm-hmm. time someone said, like, you're going to stop now, right? And this is probably when I was even 25, 30 pounds heavier than I am now. I said, no. I said, why would I? I mean, this person was like a size... like tiny size one or two or something. And they said, well, I just think some people are supposed to be, and they didn't finish it, you know, like fat and I, you know, overweight or, you know, pleasantly plumped or big boned. And I said, I think people are just supposed to be whatever they really are supposed to be. And I'm loving the discovery of like seeing where I match.
Uh-huh.
So I would say my relationships, the closest ones are probably stronger because they see me, mm-hmm. they see me for the first time. The real
right.
me.
That's yeah. awesome. Yeah. yeah. So have you had anybody come to you and ask you how? Have you had anybody?
They all ask how. Like
well,
how you
I
lose
mean,
the weight, you mean?
Yeah. Have you had anybody large come to you and say, oh my gosh,
well,
tell me what to do?
The ones that knew me that were overweight when I was overweight, of course, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Yeah.
The ones that come into, like just today when I was practicing yoga, I sometimes will practice at South Pasadena and, the Bikram there, and the lady behind me was at least 100 pounds overweight, and I was watching her, and I just thought, wow, this woman has no idea that I was her, zero idea,
wow.
couldn't fathom it. You're not going to look at me and think that I was.
No. Nope.
You know, like none. And triangle pose came up, which is a hard pose. You got to squat.
Yeah.
And she fell out and then I fell out. I was just somehow connected to her and we were connected to each other. And I just got back up and I just held my arms out, like in my legs out. And that's what that woman could do. And I didn't bend the knee, which, you know, if you know what it is, you know, but, mm-hmm. and she got back up and she mimicked me. And I just felt like
you were,
yay. Like
yeah.
somehow. Like
you were kind of pulling her up a little bit.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So, like that's going to make
that.
Me cry.
I love that.
Like somehow,
yeah.
like she, you know, if she just keeps going 13, mm-hmm. you know, maybe it's going to be 13 years, but 13 years will pass no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And
if she's lucky.
If she's lucky.
Yeah.
Because she's already, I mean, she's clearly was, you know, 25 years older than when I first started and she's an older lady and et cetera yeah. and very overweight. And I wanted her to be proud. You know, I just was trying to be as proud as I could in that class today for her. And they have no idea. People don't know.
They have no idea.
You know,
I think it's a beautiful part of that class too. When you need somebody's strength and occasionally we'll even say it to each other, you know, somebody will say like, I don't know if I can do this today. And you go, I got a little extra, just take my energy.
Yeah.
today, you know,
yeah.
and it works. You kind of like, you just, you know, you're not like looking at each other when you practice really, but you're just, you're kind of in tune like once in a while with somebody else in class and you're
yeah.
like, okay, all right, I'm just going to do it. Like it's just yoga. It's
yeah.
no big deal. Just do it. You know,
yeah, I feel everything. I'm one of those like
yeah.
feelers.
Really
so I feel everything.
So feel everything.
I'm super empathetic,
on.
Which probably could have been part of my weight too, you know, just
yeah.
holding empathy in for the world.
So what would you tell, you know, listeners who are, you know, feeling really hopeless about their weight, you know, my first advice always is like, just get thee to a yoga class, like any
yeah.
yoga class as best as you can. But you know, you have a different perspective. You've lost a lot more weight than I have and lived with it longer,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Well, I mean, the advice is going to be the same. I mean, it's you need to find a way to something you can go to every day. And you need to not worry if you see a change in a week or two or not. You need to just decide that you will go exercise every day. And yoga is, Bikram yoga in particular is really the every person's yoga, the everybody yoga. So it's a perfect yoga for people that are overweight because every overweight person can still do these things, which you might not be able to do in a music yoga class at a gym or something.
Right,
so this is a real yoga class that can really help anybody. And you just have to make that commitment to show up and know that if you say in my mind, okay, I'm going to give it 1 year to show up every day, then you will have the foundation you need to continue for that next year. I mean, you have to give yourself a longer perspective. You have to increase your point of view. You have to understand that it's not going to probably change in a couple of weeks, unfortunately.
Right.
You really have to make it an effort. This world is built on cause and effect. So you have to make the cause in order to change your mind. And maybe for you, the cause is I can stop drinking soda pop today. You know, maybe for you, the cause is I will make sure I cook 3 home cooked meals a day, not eat processed packaged food. Like find a cause that you can participate on a daily basis, no matter how big or small, and keep that going, and it will multiply. And you will then get the effects.
Change. Yes, I'm all about micro change.
And then you will, in the end of the story, have everything you ever wanted. You know, you can't give up. You can't be hopeless. And believe me,
Have nothing to lose by gaining a mind-body connection.
Nothing
to lose.
Nothing.
Like you have no.
And you might find out you're okay with your weight being a certain weight.
Exactly. You might not lose a pound, but you might be like so damn happy you just don't even care.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Because all of your relationships start to change. Everything's good.
Yeah.
Like everything starts to right itself.
It's just
pretty amazing.
Conditioning of the mind and body more than the appearance and things like that, more than whether you lose weight or don't lose weight. It's really about, but hopelessness, right? Hopelessness will say doesn't matter. But if you really understand that, no,
it does matter.
It does matter.
You're here in the physical world.
We're physical.
This is the game you've chosen to play, whatever your beliefs are.
Yeah.
You're here. You're playing by the rules of the physical world. It actually matters.
Yeah. And enjoy it. Try to give yourself a little love. Try to enjoy it. Like try to put a smile on your face. Say, at least I can do this for myself.
You'll laugh when you read that chapter. You'll be like, I love you for being here. I love you for being here. I love you for being here. I'm like in class. Like, that's all I can say. You know, for showing up,
right.
Like the days that it's just so hard to show up.
That's
like,
what I thank myself for.
And what's fantastic is like, even after 15 years of doing it, there's still days where it's hard to show up, you know, and that's okay.
Oh my God.
And that's part of it.
That's part of it. That's why
part of the whole thing.
It makes permanent change.
Yes.
Because it's not easy to do
thing.
In snow, rain, sleet.
No.
It's like being a postman. It's not easy to show up.
I'm not quite a postman about it. I'm not quite as good as you are about that. But it's still an extremely like important part of my life. If I minimally.
I love that you're still doing because you are
my
first student.
Yeah, I was crying my first class. It was horrible.
Oh, I remember how hard you were. But that's, I was so loved you right away because I was like, oh, this is a real one. This is a real one.
If at a minimum, bare minimum, and I shouldn't even like suggest a bare minimum, but if I go Monday and Friday.
Yeah.
Right. If I start my week and end my week.
Perfect.
Like
right.
Everything works better. It just does. I can't really exactly explain how, but everything just kind of works better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like everything's going to be okay. I went to yoga and then I say to my boyfriend, don't let me not go to yoga. It's your fault. No, I'm kidding.
Totally. But,
don't you know how bored this is? Yes, honey, I do more than you do. You know,
so, right. Your relatives will send you
exactly,
off. Get
like,
out.
Oh, it's
go.
Happened. It's happened. He'll be like, honey, you just need to go to yoga. I'm like, okay. You know, so that's how it works.
Exactly.
Okay. So you get ready to take the MILF quiz?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
see, you can't pass or fail, although sometimes it seems like you can.
I didn't even know there was a quiz.
I know. I didn't warn you. Okay. First word that comes to mind when you hear MILF.
Hot.
What turns you on creatively?
Color.
What turns you off creatively?
Rigidity.
What is your favorite yoga pose?
Oh, gosh.
Just today.
Okay, today is rabbit.
Really?
Because finally can get my head to my knee because I don't have a 100-pound stomach in the way of my forward bend.
Gotcha. Cool. What is your least favorite yoga pose?
Today?
Oh,
Oh, gosh. that is such a hard... Oh, I know what it is.
We're going to be here all day.
Locus, salavasana.
Oh, yeah.
Arms trapped beneath you.
Yeah, your arms are trapped beneath you. It's really good for you, but it's so uncomfortable. When your boobs hurt, it's worse. Ugh. So, just
please
saying.
Please go. It's so much fun.
Go to yoga. you know, I went through a period where balancing stick was my least favorite.
Really?
I
loved it.
Yeah, it's a great post. Anyway, so what sound or noise do you love?
Laughter.
What is your favorite curse word?
Fuck.
Why do I even ask? It's just pretty much universal. What is your favorite substitute curse word?
Shit.
That's a substitute? Oh, no, I mean like if you can't cuss in front of somebody.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant if I can't say fuck. Okay, sorry. Right.
What's your second one? What's your go-to?
After my beautiful grandma Ruth, cuss word. That's what she would say. Cuss word.
No way.
All day long. Cuss word, cuss word, cuss word. And I love it too.
That is hilarious. That is the cutest thing ever. Okay. Favorite song to sing in the shower?
Don't stop.
Okay.
Believe.
Not too many notes. No.
Thanks. I'm not really a singer.
No. It's just I didn't want to pay for it. Just kidding. Anyway, it's just a joke. Okay.
I didn't know I could make money.
No, not you. The people that wrote it. Favorite song to sing for favorite song to sing for karaoke after two drinks.
I am, and then Iron Man because I don't want to say too many notes. I am okay. Iron Man.
Oh, I'm okay.
Black
gotcha.
Sabbath.
Really?
Oh yeah, Ozzy saved nice. My life as a teenager, which
really?
Is another show.
Okay, all right. Oh, we should do one about
heavy metal.
Well, just about music and teenage angst and like how
it saved your life.
Yeah, like how Stevie Winwood is just. Anyway,
see,
yeah,
it's beautiful.
I know. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
You are so cute.
Aww.
That's all I care about anymore. Since I turned 40, vanity, that's it. There's nothing more. There's nothing left.
Is that it? That's it?
That's it.
All. There's just
no
a
other
world
ambition.
Of selfies.
That's just, it. It's that's just all I even know how to
yeah.
do.
Well, thank you for
thank
sharing
you. Thank you so
your,
much. I
your
really appreciate
journey
it.
With us and being so transparent so and, yeah. and open about it. I think it's really important for people to know that it's just not that simple. You know?
Yeah. It's
just not that simple. It's a whole...
Yeah.
Body, right, mind, emotion, spiritual. Right. Yeah. Like this, calories in, calories out. I'm going to lose weight. It's not that simple.
No, the only simplest way is to show up to something every day. That's the only way to make it simple.
Yeah. Or to just, if you want to say love yourself, then that's simple, but it's not easy.
So, no, like, right. It's not easy.
And it's a process. So, you know, I really appreciate
really
you sharing this. It's really hard,
it was
right?
Really
you
hard.
Know,
it
sharing
was really
this
hard.
Long, long process that was, there's so many layers. I mean, I'm sure you can't. Encompass all of them in 45 minutes, obviously.
No.
But I think that we got to get to know your process quite a bit. So thank you
so
for that.
Much. Thank
okay.
you.
All
My
right.
Pleasure.
That's our
Appreciate
show for today.
It.
Thanks for listening.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.